Welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. It's always a great gift to have you here on our campus.
Well, thank you very much. And you've already brought up what I was sort of hoping we would talk about today. You know,
I thought I'd help.
Thank you. I appreciate the help. I do. It's a time of year when people think about gift giving and think about sort of recognizing each other, honoring each other with gifts. And I thought today we could talk about passing on learning as a gift. In these episodes, we talk a lot about people themselves as lifelong learners, as navigating their way through both formal education and lifelong learning. What I wanted to kind of get at today is how do you take that and encourage it in others or pass it along to other people?
Yeah, I first of all, what a neat idea, because I think there is no greater gift that one can give to another than the gift of learning, the gift of being thought-provoking, the gift of provoking an idea or a thought. And we've talked about this in the past that, you know, sometimes that provocation is not always pleasant or happy. I'm not, you know, so Pollyandra that I think that, you know, everything is wonderful and beautiful. But whenever we're being challenged in ways where we're learning something about our world, whether it's the natural world or the world of human thought or the world of human emotion, then we are learning something.
Well, and one thing about sort of helping other people see the joy and the excitement of learning is it's not a gift that necessarily is instant gratification.
That's right.
So it's not like I might encourage, I don't know, a colleague or somebody to, I don't know, maybe go back to school or just whatever their version of education and learning might be, read more, join a group, whatever. In that minute, they might go, oh, thanks. That's really nice. Thanks. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I wasn't a good student in school. Like, but if you think about down the road, you know, after they've gone to some classes or gone to some lectures and gotten excited, it's a gift that doesn't necessarily offer immediate return.
You know, it's funny because actually I was just teaching my class a little while ago and I told my students, this is not a math class, but we stumbled upon something that actually inspired me to share a very counterintuitive mathematical theorem. So it's an actual mathematical fact, but it's so counterintuitive. And I shared this with them and they just got so upset.
They can't be true.
I don't believe it. And it kind of messed with them. And it was like same reaction that you're suggesting, which is, you know, now you've messed me up. Now that you've told me this thing, now I can't get this thing out of my head. And we talked about it for about 20 minutes, believe it or not.
And that's a gift to them.
But at the moment, they were annoyed.
Right. They didn't think of it as a gift.
But they now see the world a little differently.
So I'm interested to hear about, for people who know people or have people in their family or in their lives or in their classes or whatever, who maybe struggled in school in a traditional way. And by that, I mean, you know, they didn't get good grades.
Right.
They didn't have a good experience. And so all they wanted to do was get the degree.
Get out. Yep.
How do you give someone like that the gift of learning, who is, of course, smart and intelligent and a good thinker, but just had a bad experience in school? How do you get them jazzed about learning again?
There are many things you can do. So I'm just vamping here. But one thing you can do is try to pick something that is important to them or of interest to them, whether it's a hobby or a collection of ideas that they enjoy or piece of art, music and whatever, and then begin a conversation and try to go deeper. Remember, all formal education is taking your current understanding and with intentionality going a little deeper. So then start provoking a conversation through questions. You know, why do you think the composer created this piece of music like that? And, you know, what's your favorite phrase in that music? And why? Why do you like that? Why is it, you know, that seems kind of like a dark moment. What does that conjure up? And just even through the process, almost the Socratic process of delving and asking questions and having every question be followed by another question, all of a sudden it will take the other individual on a journey of thought and hopefully getting to a place that's new. So that's a very simple way. It's just question the heck out of someone.
Well, and you know what I've discovered in my work? I do a lot of interviews.
Yes, you do.
And I've discovered that often, you know, people know a lot about their, maybe their area of work or their area of knowledge or their area of expertise, but they don't get the chance to speak about their own life or their own thinking nearly as often. And once you start asking them about that, they just kind of
come to life. They come to life.
So when you ask them about, well, why do you like that particular movement in the, you know, in the concerto or whatever, or what is it about that shade of blue in that painting that really gets to you?
Right.
All of a sudden, you know, that's a learning and educational experience, but it just doesn't look like it used to be. And they just get excited.
And also, it will often allow them to make a self-discovery. It's like you said that, you know, that shade of blue in the painting. Well, yeah, I'm drawn to that shade of blue. But now you're pushing me and saying, well, why? Why do you like that? And then all of a sudden I say, well, you know, when I was a kid and, you know, I was on the Long Island Sound and we were sailing, I remember that same kind of color. And all of a sudden it allows the person to appreciate that thing even more. And that's the point of learning.
So I guess it's generally considered rude to ask for a gift, but I want to ask you for a new puzzler.
Well,
do you have one for me?
I always have a puzzler for all of our listeners, including you.
Excellent.
This is a very classical puzzle. So
oh,
I will tell you right now, this is one. So I, you know, you might have even heard this one before. It's a very, very classical puzzle. It's a logic puzzle.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. So a farmer is trying to cross a river.
Okay, now, I'm drawing my river. Okay.
You are, yes. And the farmer has three things with him. So he's got a rabbit.
Okay.
A bunch of carrots and a fox. And just to be clear, the fox, if left alone, so if the farmer were to leave, the fox would eat the rabbit. This
okay.
is not a friendly fox.
Okay.
Okay. And if the rabbit were left alone with the bunch of carrots, the rabbit, of course, would eat the bunch of carrots.
Right.
Okay. So, and these animals, by the way, are tame in the sense that they're not going to run away.
Mm-hmm.
But if you leave them alone, the fox will eat the rabbit. And if you leave them alone, the rabbit will eat the carrots.
Well, so that would make it easier to get across the river.
If you let them all eat each other. Yes. Okay. You haven't even heard the question, but there you have it. Now, the farmer has a little teeny raft and can only take one of these things across the river at a time. Which means that when he brings one over, the other two have to remain unsupervised.
Okay.
Now, the question is, how can the farmer make this journey of getting all three, the rabbit, the bunch of carrots, and the fox over to the other side without having the fox eat the rabbit eat the carrots.
So he's got to do it in the right order.
That's right. So I'm asking for what is the process that he could use to go and bring. So for example, let's just say, for example, if he would take the carrots and then take him across, that does not work because
the fox will eat the rabbit.
Correct. The fox is left
while
alone.
The farmer's gone.
Correct. And so therefore, that's not a good way to start. So actually, I've already helped by a kind of process of elimination where to start. That's not a good place to start. So you think about, you know, where do you have to start? And then how would you then proceed? And can the farmer actually do this, taking one of them at a time?
So that's an interesting aspect to it also. Can this even happen? And if it can...
Then how?
Then
and if,
how,
and if not,
order?
then who gets eaten?
Right.
I guess that's the follow-up.
That's a great gift.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a very classical puzzle, which I thought you would enjoy.
So
that's my gift for you. Now, I want to ask you a question, though, and I know that you always are asking stuff of us. But when we're talking about education and the gift of learning, you are in the world of media and in particular in the world of news. You are offering individuals every morning on Morning Edition in Austin at KUT, you're offering people the gift of news. So how do you see yourself in that role as educator? And how do you see and perceive that gift? Because it's not always good news. In fact, probably most of the time it's bad news because people like the bad news more than the good news. How do you process that as someone who's delivering that gift to the rest of us?
A couple of things about that question. First of all, the definition of what's news now is fascinating and a whole nother discussion. And there are many books and blogs all about that. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is, you know, nowadays, if somebody is choosing to listen to kind of a straightforward news source, That's a pretty big deal these days, because with the internet and with social media, it's so easy to only choose information that already is in concert with what you believe.
In sympathy with who you are.
And so I sort of am taking the idea that anybody who comes to listen to a straightforward kind of mainstream journalism news source wants to learn and is ready to be challenged, because they're going to hear stories, they're going to hear people speak, they're going to hear thoughts and ideas that are not going to necessarily mesh or agree with their own personal beliefs, but yet they're staying with this news source for a reason.
Is there today, or was there ever, truly objective news? So something happens, right? So let's say an accident happens. Well, depending upon who the reporter interviews, it might kind of have the story roll a different way. I mean, how objective can news really be if we're human beings?
Yeah, I mean, every decision in the decision chain has humans involved, from is this story something to cover or not? That's a decision right there, right? And then, like you say, you send a reporter. Who do they talk to? What pieces of information that they gather do they choose to use? What do they choose to leave out? If it's a video or visual medium, what images do they include? You know,
right.
It's full of decisions that humans are making.
That are subjective.
Right, that are subjective decisions trying to deliver sort of
an objective piece.
Product. Yeah. So it's not going to be 100% perfect. It's as close as seasoned practice professionals can get it.
But I would argue that what you just offered us is yet another gift, which is the gift of context and perspective. And then as we're listening on whatever media we use and whatever kind of area through which we find our news and get information, we have to realize that all of that was generated by human beings, and that we have to then in some sense filter that through our own minds. And we might like it and take it as is. We might object to it and consider it the opposite. But what a gift to say that, you know, news is not just a raw, that it's been processed. And then when we receive it, we have the responsibility to process it yet again and decide for ourselves. That's a great gift.
I mean, the interesting thing about the news landscape, just as we sort of wrap up here, is that now there are outlets and ways to get that more raw version of news. You know, Facebook Live may show an event as it's unfolding with not even a reporter on the scene. You know, there's C-SPAN. But
sure.
Now so much streams online that people can consume that and completely bring their own ideas and perspective to it, you know, absent any producing.
And I know we're wrapping up here, but let me just push back and give the alternate, which is that if you have your phone out and you're videotaping this thing, there are, you know, that's about maybe a 10 degrees of angle, and you've got 350 degrees that you're not seeing, and who knows what's happening around you. Unless you're there and observant, you don't know what's going on.
Well, and these are all the fascinating questions,
sure,
right?
Right.
That are out there, as there is so much news and media to consume.
Lots of gifts.
Lots of gifts. And Ed, thank you for all the gifts that you give us to help us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain sharp by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.